Selenite Britannia. Yes, I thought it kind of appropriate to start off this, the second tape, with some of the local lingo. The phrase Selenite Britannia meaning may your ways be blessed, literally used on a day-to-day basis as welcome. Tape number one saw us travel from Singapore along the east coast of Malaysia to the town of Kota Baru. This side of this tape will see us travel from Kota Baru westward towards Penang and then southwestwards through Sumatra to wherever we happen to end this tape, side of the tape. And the second side of the tape will carry on from there, needless to say. Right, where are we? Right, let's go. The 9-hour bus journey to Penang left Kota Baru fairly promptly at the hour of 9, and in a relaxed, or at least seemingly so, manner, collected more passengers till full. That is, full as might be used in the European context, but let's say a third to a half full by more relevant local usage. Leaving behind the coastal plains, we quickly begun ascending a long and twisty route, which permitted brief, glimpsing, and passing views of the luxuriously dressed, foliage-covered mountains, which were themselves of a sharp and small, rapidly rising temperament, rather than of some ridge-like undulating texture. To stop and gaze at any one view would have been of minimal benefit, because each turn in the road conjured up a different pictorial landscape of equivalent value. In other words, the driver wasn't stopping. With one stop for a leg stretch, the bus did have a loo, and midday prayers, inevitably, we reached the town of Georgetown on the island of Penang. It was the oldest British settlement in Malaysia, having been found almost uninhabited. I do like these phrases, almost uninhabited, which I gleaned from the guidebook. In 1786, by Captain Light. It is of particular note to many for its good beaches, although the town beaches are too polluted, its easygoing way of life, who doesn't like that, and its great range of food. Sydney does, on the border between Thailand, Malaysia, and Sumatra. But in addition, it brought back memories of where I had been the previous year at approximately the same time. It's always nice kind of going back to a place where you've been before to see it with a different pair of eyes. The street called the Rue Julia, meaning Julia Street, another display of linguistic perfection, is by any standards a tourist resort in itself, with its entire length dedicated to accommodation, food shops, travel agents, and densely populated by pale skins with occasional and infrequent red blotches. I had returned to the land of tourism with all its attendant trappings. Having found a hotel late upon my arrival, I spent the next 2 days planning the next leg, that is Sumatra, and more importantly, revisiting the sights, the smells, and sounds of Georgetown. A noted observation and comparison this time was the considerable renovation work taking place on the many and various Chinese temples, with their wonderfully detailed facades being returned to the former wonder, or at least so I assume they were doing it. A final word on Malaysia and its people in general. For many years, it has been a minority Chinese segment of society, about 3% of the population, that has been commercially successful, and the Malays, who have languished in a lethargic state of contentedness and generally moderate envy, passively expressed. Like many parts of this world, democracy has been embraced, not in its traditional Western form, within 100 years certainly doesn't constitute a tradition, but in a very paternalistic manner. The ruler over Malaysia's significant and consistent economic growth some 8% per annum for the last 7-8 years. Mahathir Mohamad has taken an aggressive approach to economic upliftment in a polyglot society, where there is visible entrenched economic imbalances. Taking the initiative, he has launched and steered various policy programs to push the upliftment of the native Malays, called locally the Bumi Putra, meaning sons of the soil. Is this anything to do with Mohamad Faramal, I wonder? First time housing is 5% cheaper if you are in that market, and if you are a businessman, then your interest, then your loan from your bank are at a subsidized interest rate. Many job adverts will specify Bumi Putra only to apply. But looking at the papers myself, the English one that is, I noticed quite a few adverts specifying Chinese only to apply. Is this a sign of retaliation? Once these and other similar initiatives can be rolled out as a form of positive discrimination, which could and probably will have long-term benefits for the country as a whole, it was one particular program which I found to have a curious humor in that. That was the one allowing Bumi Putra to get to university with a lower entrance qualification than the equivalent Chinese student. It is said that even many Malays prefer a Chinese doctor. It makes you think a little bit. And so the time comes to leave one country and to visit another, but my time here has been a very informative one. I've seen both the developed places and the developing and how they try to grapple with an eternal problem of transition, with forces pulling forward and others falling down, leaving more pulling back. A genuinely friendly people in the land, sometimes shy and withdrawn to outsiders, and quite different from this latter part to what I was going to find in the days to come. Thursday, the 16th December, I refer to as a step back in time or a step ahead. That is a question, the answer I leave. Leaving Penang, we had what was planned and what was in fact a 6-hour, pleasantly boring trip to the port of Belawan on the northeast coast of Sumatra. The boat, with a capacity of some 250 seats, which would have been crowded to carry that many, bore in fact a small number of about 30. Of these, half were travellers like myself. This allowed the legs to be stretched as the inevitable video channel was switched on. We quickly left port and land behind, and had two reasonably good videos before the equally inevitable Kung Fu movie was played. It does help to pass the time. It would not have made very much difference if this last movie had been played backwards, but it did at least contain some classic lines, probably by accident rather than by design. Words then proved very difficult to describe that initial impression of Belawan when we had dusted. There was an air of casuality, punctuated by a rather forbidding looking customs section. Not the passport controls in very friendly. Luckily for customs, they only selected a small part of my bag to check. I don't know why they arrived at that. Anyway, but my memory recalls still a faded poster of the members of the Japanese Red Army faction, who probably are 15, 20 years older now, which adorned one of the columns in that arrival hall. All aboard the long air-conditioned bus and off out of the harbour compound. The buildings around the houses, run down, yes, shack-like, yes, scattered betwixt and between the foliage. But then the tall TV aerials reaching upwards, 30-35 foot from the self-same house, and you pick up Malaysian TV stations from across the channel, contrasting their one. Our approach were the apparent victims of many competing pipe-laying competitors. The great noise of the city, which enveloped us, was compounded by that great custom of horn-beating prior to overtaking, horn-beating as we went, and a final beat from the horn after we had overtaken. This was complemented by the vehicle route of being overtaken, beating as it was being overtaken, and beating after it was overtaken. Between two vehicles on the road, this is pretty acceptable, probably. We're on a 3-4 lane road heading into Medan with a multitude of vehicles, optics, coats, microlets, sideshows, and defects, vying for space as if space itself was a shrinking dimension. It resulted in a fierce noise of monstrous anti-musical sentiments. It was bedlam at bedlam's best. My haven in this was a relatively quiet place, Napier Tabari, situated on the western fork of the Two Fork River, which dissects this capital of North America, a city which honors transporting down to the pedestrian to try crossing the road. There are few, if any, pedestrian crossings, and where there are, it is the vehicles which get the priority, or so was my initial impression. Subsequently, I learned that when one crosses the road, you head off in a positive manner across the road, and the vehicles avoid you. If you were to double back halfway across, you would probably cause endless confusion, but as long as you keep walking, it's okay. This does take a bit of guts. The Friday still needs to cover some considerable walking distances, however by no math but a reasonable scale, as I took in a very informative museum with the helpful assistance. The impressive mosque, I played Russian roulette with every driver who dared to take on the representative of Ireland. Walking out into the countryside, I get to get feel for the country. Reinforced that is a very distinctive trait of Sumatran people, and, so I understand, of Indonesians in general. Indonesians in origin are, over a long time, migrated from the Indian and Arabic parts of the world, blended with other groups from southern China and the general what we now call Indochina area. Their one national language, Abkhazia Indonesian, encompasses 27 distinct dialects reflecting the different groupings within the country, inhabiting a widely dispersed country from Sumatra to Java, Nusa Tenggara, up to Irian Jaya, and then back northwards to the Maluku's and Kalimantan and Sulawesi. Geographically, it's when you look at the map and get a better understanding of the diversity of people encompassed in this country concocted by Dutch colonialism. Anyway, people, yes. Smiling, they will approach you, individually or in groups, depending on the level of confidence, and ask you, in English, your name, your origin. They have difficulty understanding what Ireland is, choose an option of Holland. Age, occupation, marital status, which can have some small options, family details, travel details, etc., etc. It is all done in such a friendly manner that on day one it is difficult not to cooperate. The afternoon included a trip to the crocodile farm, with its laid-back, occasionally mouth-open, dead-flying, long-tailed, four-legged friends. An interesting feature was the artificial light of shallow water, with its quota of varying-sized inmates, who apparently enjoyed frolicking with each other in a territorial escaping game. Watching these juvenile acting characters again provided a sight for a biographical interchange with the locals. Maybe the vampire only stalks at night in order to avoid the personal interrogation of his own lifestyle. Saturday and Sunday, the 18th of December, also the 19th. With bus journey to Parapat of some 200 kilometers, not some 4 hours or thereabouts, seeing that either time or distance of any direct correlation. As a start to this subject, the roads get narrower, the vegetation wilder and bolder, the small towns increasingly acquire a frontier-like appearance. I feel as if I'm leaving a form of what you might call civilization into a world so different. The town of Parapat nestled gently at the foot of these great mountains. Not great in terms of alpine heights and peaks, but in terms of their never-ending creeper-like sprawl and the steeper floor. And their beautiful charm. On the shores of Parapat lies a large volcanic lake, Lake Toba, which covers some 1,700 square kilometers itself. The peculiarity here is the large island upon Lake Toba, Samosir Island, an island with a narrow plain irrigated, with many rice fields rising up into the mountains before the mountains themselves become too sharply rising. Part of paddy fields to take place. I wonder why we call them paddy fields. Even paddy with every foot. A relatively developed section called Tuk Tuk is the main center of what is home to the Batak folk and their curious shaped houses. With their horn shaped root, that is, with a line center of the root dropping gently to a low point in the middle, leaving the two high points of horn at opposite ends of the root. Accommodation is in chalets run by various guest houses along the shoreline of the lake, and there is simple, quite friendly, so a very relaxed air about it. It sounds great, and is in fact was great. Activity is seriously curtailed for environmental reasons, if you will believe them. And I will use this time until after Christmas to ensure that batteries are fully charged for the journey south into the real. Really, really wild south. Apparently, my bus journey today has been luxury in relation to what lies ahead. When people tell you of being sick bags available on buses, you begin to get worried about what I'm going into. Anyway, the food today has been spicy and very pleasant, without the fire I had expected in Sumatra. But I suspect that this is solely to pander to the tourists such as myself, and not to scare us off. Must make an effort to get more out of the way to try to feed them. The long rest. Monday the 20th to Sunday the 26th is a period to which I refer to as the long rest. These few days are blended pleasantly together without barrier or distinction. I believe that in the absence of Christmas that I would have moved on. But the next town upon my list does not have a lake. Gosh, sometimes life can really be tough in this part of the world. But there's always a more soothing air when in the presence of water as in lake or sea. Its constant changing mood, colour and voice, its joyful days and ways, or alternatively, sultry moods. A minor problem gently arose this week. Problems don't really happen. In the form of souvenirs. Came across some very fine examples of the Tak painting. But storage, where? Will delay purchases at this stage and hope to find at least some of similar quality in Java. But it is the denomination of currency that renders entertainment and moderate risk, yes. With some 2,000 rupiah to the dollar and 3,000 to the pound approximately. The largest note is in fact 10,000, and the smallest coins 50 to 100, with a further three notes in between. This makes changing of currency quite an exercise, and the wads of paper that are result. I think more deforestation is looming as a result of my trip. Throughout the day, the ferries regularly ply the trade along the shorefront. If you want one from your chalet, you stand on the shoreline and shout. Oh, it's so civilized, but like so much else, doesn't pay to be rushing around here. Upon this fine island, the ever-pervasive contrasts lurk and silently roam. There are no newspapers to be found, and definitely none in English. But yes, they got satellite dishes picking up the news from the BBC and CNN. I have succeeded in avoiding any contact with these forms of the outside world this week, and no communication at all on this island. The Vatak people are split, interestingly, between Catholic and Protestant in this officially Muslim country, although Islam is practiced in a very non-fundamentalist manner, that is, in a very relaxed manner, like all else upon this place. On Friday, I paid a visit to the weekly market in the town of Palapan. The town square was bustling busy, with, as expected, less affluence, apparently, than at the other markets. Then, of course, it is a poorer area, so they say. I remain entertained by the sight of fish, but particularly those still swimming in assorted boxes or containers, occasionally removed by a potential purchaser for closer examination. Does a head of lettuce endure the indignity before buying leaving soap? The return ferry trip provided the fleeting stage for yet another unpleasant setting. A live chicken nestling in the lap of a young girl and being teased by her siblings, blissfully unaware of its beautiful surroundings or culinary future on Christmas Day. My culinary present is improving all the time, with salads, mangoes and mangosteens, rambutans. In the salad line, we have added the gado gado salad, which is quite simply a salad of whatever is fresh and available, covered with a corn cracker and peanut sauce, warm and spicy. I've also tried the local fish barbecue, local being from the local lake, a name of no meaning, just referred to as the local fish. Not quite a taste for any memory, but fine, I would say. And fortunately enough, warm traditional Indonesian buffet. A bit of buffet. You never know about these kind of words. It makes you think when you hear the local people trying to learn English as well. Should it be called a buffet or a buffet? Maybe it should be called a buffet. Surely it should be two O's instead of a U. Anyway, I should leave that major problem to some other linguist. Christmas Day, the clouds still cling gingerly to the mountains tops. I have mentioned the fact that there are two seasons in Sumatra. The wet season and the wetter season. I'm not too sure which one I mean, but at least it doesn't rain forever. The weather has been pleasantly bearable, never too hot for too long to be exhausting. A refreshing breeze blows gently the length of the waters, and there is an air of relaxing peace about. Not surprisingly. To get away from it all, this place has got the atmosphere yet, you know? But I hear that there is even a taxi room and two cones upon the island, this wonderful piece of island. The walking here is beautiful, but you need to get out in the countryside to hear the traditional hearty greeting of the Batak people. Hurrahs! Shouted across the fields towards you. You must reply, but for the sake of good manners, in a similar voice. Crossing the equator, yes, by bus this time, rather than by flight. Monday the 27th and Tuesday the 28th were to provide the days for this journey. I spent the final 2 days upon Lake Toba after Christmas doing very little. I was too modest to say I did nothing. But it was time to start moving. It was too easy to get lazy. First stage, in matter of fact, thinking about it, go to a place like Lake Toba and spend about 2 months a year there and quite enjoy life without any of the hassles of rushing. And money-wise, it was extremely cheap. I think my accommodation for my time there was costing just over $1 a night. Anyway, we crossed over into the town of Parapat in the afternoon of Monday in order to spend overnight in town in anticipation of the early morning departure at 6. The last few purchases for the day ahead were bartering in the local market. Certainly not great fun. The more of the language we learn, the more fun it becomes. Departure shortly after 6 that morning with a group of 22 other travellers and one spare driver. We were technically once in short as well for this. Was this bungling or intentional, or was it tell? It had just happened all too frequently, overbooking on these buses. Anyway, it wasn't my particular problem, fortunately. quickly ascending the mountain, the first of all too many mountains, there were to follow. I found myself, like many of my fellow travelers, bracing myself between the armrest and my neighbor, as we were sharply dragged, pushed, and pulled into each never-ending curve. After a few hours, the pain of the sands and on the bottom, yes, even the compressed foam offered no comfort on that part of the anatomy. The pain, it was pain, just eased into a sense of numbness and fitful sleep. We were to have three memorable stops that day. Memorable because they actually represented a break from whatever else was happening. The first was to look back down upon Lake Toba and all its beauty. It is a very pretty lake, certainly. The clouds just passed away to give us a wonderful panoramic view of Lake Toba and the Top Duck. No one knows when next I will be back there. The second stop was a delightful cafe for lunch, and the third was at the equator about 8 that evening. To return, lunch was set in a beautiful, tranquil garden setting with running water, and seats scattered amongst and around the garden, shaded from the rest of the day. We spent an hour there for our lunch, getting to know the fellow travelers better, and just general that. Saying, is this body still mine? Yes, we were traveling the Trans-Sumatran Highway, which goes from north to south Sumatra, and is named to open up the country quite considerably. Trans-Sumatran certainly is. Highway is really pushing the meaning of the word highway. A road barely wide enough to allow two vehicles to pass each other in opposite directions. But then, to return to the surrounding foliage, I love this, the foliage is different. Just the denseness and intensity of the 1,000+ shades of foliage, I didn't find it 10,000 shades, but everything seems to have its own colour of green that made the trip so memorable. Foliage started at the roadside and carried all the way to the peaks of the tall mountains, or to the depths of the valleys below. The road is literally built in sides of mountains as it curls up or down. Thousands of streams and bridges, rivers running brown for the spoils of their conquests, torrential rivers, or is it torrential rain? Anyway, we had inevitable delay due to a crash bus blocking the road ahead, lying on its side. It seemed to have few casualties, but with a very untypical display of organization skills. The bus was righted by means of two steel pins being hammered into the tarmac. They were 4 foot, 5 foot steel pins. They acted as a fulcrum as the bus was then pulled back into an upright position by a heavy truck. Many people helping out. The steel ropes stripped around the bus. The whole impression is that this is just like changing the tire on the car. This happens all the time. It was certainly very different to observe as the rain came down that day, and as the mountains rose up on either side, you looked around and saw, this is crazy. This whole exercise added only 1.5 hours to the trip, and we eventually pulled into the town of Bikini at 10 o'clock that evening. Certainly, from describing a certain Wednesday the 29th, Friday the 31st, 4th. Is Merapi coughing? Yes, that's a good question. Is Merapi coughing? I will return with an answer later on, in case you haven't worked out during this 2 day period. Awaking to the morning noise of yet another town as the year draws to a close. Does time accelerate as one gets older, or is it the pace of activity and range of activity that prompts the feeling of racing time? Then, if so, we can slow the process by doing no more of nothing, such as watching Pokemon Scroll. Is this like a fantasy or a reality? A visit to the friendly and helpful tourist office provided the framework of activity for the next few days. The town is built over several hills and is surrounded by three mountains, large, tall mountains, one of which is volcanic, and approximately a year ago in a minor eruption managed to kill a number of tourists who had been climbing it. It spews forth a bit of volcanic dust on a daily basis, but is frequently generally hidden from the view of the town below. At the latter part of World War II, the Japanese constructed a range of underground tunnels in the area.